We've been looking at Dr. C.F.W. Walther's Church in the Office of the Ministry on Thursdays, and we're going to continue to do that, I think. And we've been going kind of slow because in the thesis, we've been looking at each verse from the Bible that he points us to and really taking it apart. Now, one of the neat things about the history of the way that Lutherans do theology is that while we certainly believe in Scripture alone as the foundation, as the norm for what we believe, we don't believe that the only thing we have to teach us is Scripture alone, but that the church has confessed Scripture in every time and place down through the ages. And so we can actually go back and look at, you can call it tradition, but it doesn't mean all tradition. It means that there will be faithful preachers, teachers, confessors, Christians in the tradition and the history of the church. You can go back and look at what they said, and you can find places where it affirms what Scripture says. And so when you said, when you read a bit, and you're like, oh, Scripture says this, like, you should be able to find that in the history of the church. If you're, and the real value in this is that if you're going to start teaching something that the church has never said before, is like brand spanking new, well, maybe that's not Christianity. It might be true still. I'm not saying it's not true, but it's certainly not the faith once and for all delivered to the saints, if we can say it that way. So what Walther does after he gives us some scripture to prove his point, he then goes and he looks at the ancient sources, and he always starts with the Lutheran confessions because, well, we believe that they're in accord with Scripture. That's what it means to be a Lutheran. I know there's Lutherans out there in name only, but to be a Lutheran in substance is to confess what the original Lutherans who earned the name, as a derogatory title, by the way, what they actually believed and taught because they believe the Scriptures taught it. And this is, again, the value of the Lutheran confessions is that you have now 500 years of other Lutherans who have arisen and said, look, it does say what the Scriptures say. You know, they come to it, they test it. And when I first found the book, the Lutheran Confessions, Book of Concord, I was like, what's this? Why do we need man-made books, right? Doctrines of men. And then I read it, and I was like, oh, it says what the Bible says. This is great. Yeah. And so you have to test it. I'm not saying don't test it. But the value of the Lutheran Confessions is that they, as a piece of the churches, the wide churches tradition, they've been tested. And I can tell you, they're gold. So to prove his point again that the church in the most proper sense is the congregation of the saints, that is all believers, right? He goes to our public confessions and he starts with, well, the most ancient of them, the Apostles' Creed, which is in our confessions. You know, it's in the Book of Concord. We repeated it. We confessed it because it's true. And so, again, proving that the church, to be church is to be Christians first, before it's anything else. The Apostles' Creed says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. And now, Walther's little comment on this, the addition of communion of saints does not indicate a new article of faith as the Romanists teach, but it explains the word church. The Large Catechism of Luther explains it thus. And then he quotes from further in our confessions, again, this Large Catechism, we've been reading that a little bit here in the morning sometimes. Luther says, the little word church means really nothing else in German than a common assembly, and is not German by idiom, but actually Greek. For in their own language, they call it curia, as in Latin it is called curia. Therefore, in genuine German, in our mother tongue, it ought to be called a Christian community or assembly. Or best of all, and most clearly, a holy Christendom. And this is me now here. Luther's quite right there. It's the same way in English. It's become, the word church has become an idiom, but what it really means is assembly, right? Gathering. Back to Luther. So also, the word communion, which is added to the word church, I believe in the Holy Church, the communion of saints, ought not to be rendered communion, but community. And it is nothing else than a gloss or explanation by which someone meant to explain what the Christian church is. But to speak correct German, it ought to be, now I'm going to speak very poor German here, Eine Gemeinde der Heiligen. Now he translates it for us, thank goodness. You can send your emails to kfu@kfu.org about how Pastor Fisk needs German lessons. That is, a community made up purely of saints. Or to speak yet more plainly, a holy community. But this is the meaning and substance of the addition. So here's the root. I believe that there is upon earth a little holy group and a community of pure saints under one head, even Christ, called together by the Holy Spirit. Right? So the idea is just that. Again, now the Apostles' Creed and the Large Catechism agree with what Scripture has already taught us, that to be church is to be people gathered around Jesus. That's the root. That's where it starts. There's more to being church. This is a big book. You can't see it. There's more. But it's where we start. Yeah, it starts with people gathered around who Jesus is. Now, he doesn't stop there. He keeps going. He's got more. And he's just going to quote our confessions. He's going to use a lot of our confessions. The Augsburg Confession, which is really our Magna Carta, our real document of stating who we are as Lutherans, it says this. What the church is. Although the church, properly speaking, is the gathering of saints and true believers, while the Augsburg Confession desires not so much to describe the church according to its essence, but merely, The church properly, this is Augsburg Confession again, the church properly is a gathering of saints and true believers, which is what we just said a moment ago, right? It's what we've been saying all along. It's just saying it a different way. It's confessing it. It's re-speaking the same idea with different words. The church is to be true believers getting together. Now, I've said it several times now, around what? Around Jesus, around his word, right? But it's not a building. It's not an organization. It's not an institution, an incorporation. It is the people gathered around the word. That's church. So Walther again here comments, while the Augsburg Confession desires not so much to describe the church according to its essence, but merely wishes to state that at all times there is and must remain a holy Christian church, where it is and by what marks it can be recognized, this article tells us what the church is and indeed what it is properly. This must be well observed when defining the concept that our church has set forth in its symbols regarding the church. So if you're going to know what the church is, you got to know what it is properly. You got to know at the very root, what does it mean? It means Christians. It means people united to Jesus Christ. It means you, right? It means you. I'd like to do a little bit more there, but I used all my time with the Proverbs this morning, and I want to give you a good Lenten hymn before we move into our New Testament reading in a little bit. So, it's Lent still, right? Did you go to church last night? I hope you did. Sing some of those nice minor key hymns, get a little despairing, put a grim look on your face, right? It's not all about that. In fact, our service was quite joyful, very uplifting. But why was it uplifting? Because, well, we watched the one who went to dark Gethsemane in our place, and we heard him preach. We were reminded that this veil of tears is not all there is, but there's another who came down into our midst. Of course, we'll be talking about him more in just a little bit, but for now, go to dark Gethsemane.